Would you please stand with me as we read from God's holy word? Our sermon text this morning comes from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. John 20, beginning with verse 19. This is the word of the Lord. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Now as we come to this text, I think it's helpful to understand what had been happening. We heard about on Easter morning how the women found the empty tomb and heard from the angel that Jesus had risen. They had gone back to tell the guys about this, and they didn't really believe them. But then we find out that Peter got a chance to see Jesus face to face. And when he came back and told the other disciples, they actually were confident that this was true. And when they heard this news, then they were overjoyed but still confused. You know, there were a number of them that still then had not seen Jesus. They had had also, besides Peter, they had had two disciples come that had met Jesus on the road to Emmaus. And they had been doubting. They were pretty hopeless. They thought, and they were expressing that Jesus was supposed to be the one who saved us, but now he's dead. And they didn't have hope. But then Jesus appeared to them and revealed himself to them, and they came and told these disciples this news. And when they found these disciples, they found them rejoicing. And they said, the disciples that were locked in this room said, "He is risen indeed," because he also appeared to Peter. And so we had heard that news. So if you can imagine now, they're locked inside this building. The door is shut, firmly secured shut. And they're in a mix of emotions. They're excited. They had heard from Peter and were trusting his word. But it still seemed too good to be true. It seemed too much to grasp. But they were excited. And yet at the same time, it says that they were locked up so tight in this room for fear of the Jews. Now you can imagine that they may have been feeling afraid because they thought that, well, if they killed our master, our leader, they're going to come for us next. They maybe were afraid for their own lives because these were the co-leaders of this movement. These were the other important leaders, and likely the Jews would try to snuff them out. But also, they may have even heard the news that the Jews were spreading rumors that the disciples had stolen the body. And so the people might even be upset with them and accuse them of this as well, and they could maybe get into a lot of trouble. And they're hiding out in here, afraid for their very lives from the Jews, even as they are trying to comprehend this exciting news that Jesus is risen. Are you afraid ever? Are you afraid of dying? You know, I don't think that I've ever met anybody who's being honest with me who says that they're not afraid of dying. Because maybe it isn't on your mind regularly. Maybe you don't think about dying or live every moment in fear. But I'll tell you what, if all of a sudden your life is on the line, if you are afraid, you become afraid of dying. It's a little bit tough to talk about being afraid when there's a cute little kid running around up here. I love it. But let's think here for a moment. Maybe you aren't living every moment in fear for your life or fearing death. But let me tell you, every single person that I've ever met who has had a near-death experience or has had some wake-up call of a loved one dying or the realization of their own mortality, that death is coming, it puts fear in your heart. It puts fear in all of our hearts. You know what? One of our greatest instincts that we have is to survive. And we fight against death. We're afraid of it, if we're honest with ourselves, if we actually consider it. But what if I were to tell you that there's something even scarier than dying? Matthew 10:28 says, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul." That would be the Jews, right? They could kill these disciples, but they couldn't touch their souls. They shouldn't have been afraid of them. It says, "Rather fear him, God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell." You see, death is scary. But what's scarier is what comes after that. That we have to go and stand before a holy God and answer for everything that we've done. And he is the one who has the authority and the right, by justice's sake, to send us to hell for what we've done. And kill our soul for eternity. That's a scary thought. Do you feel confident with the thought of standing before God one day and answering for all that you've done? That's unnerving to me, to think of being before God. The fear of death, and especially of eternal death, of hell, is a fearful thought. And this message today is a message of peace to comfort those who are afraid. Anybody who's afraid of dying in this life or the next. And as we look at this, there's three times that Jesus says, "Peace be with you." And so we're going to look at each one of those. The first one, Christ speaks peace to those who are afraid. And then Christ institutes the ministry of peace. And then Christ offers peace for the doubter. So first, peace for those who are afraid. Jesus showed up in this room. Imagine, they're already afraid, they're locking the door, they're paranoid, and suddenly Jesus is right there. Like nobody could get into this place, and yet somehow he's right there. Jesus in his glorified body is not able to be stopped by walls and locked doors. He can just show up right in that room. He can walk right through that wall. Let me tell you too, when we heard about the empty tomb, why was that tomb door rolled away? Was that so Jesus could get out? Was he trapped in there? No. In fact, he passed right through his burial cloths and they were just laying there like they had been on a person, not unraveled. And then the tomb door was rolled away so that we could see that it was empty. And now, in his glorified state, in his resurrected body, he is able to just show up in this room or walk right through these walls or locked doors. What an amazing thing to think of, and what a shock this must have been. And they think this is a ghost, right? And you probably would too. But he shows up, and the first thing that he says to them is, "Peace be with you." What an encouraging message to hear when you are very afraid. Now, what he probably said was shalom, which is the Jewish greeting that they would greet each other with all of the time. It was the daily hello. But it's so much more than that. They repeated it. They held on to it. They said it all the time because it had powerful meaning behind it. And it means peace be with you. And it was actually a blessing that they were saying to other people. These were the people of God's promise, the hope of God, the Savior. And they were sharing, spreading, encouraging one another daily with the word peace. Peace be with you. And so Jesus says that to him, but just like Jesus everywhere else, he doesn't waste his words. He doesn't throw this around just because it's the common greeting. This word is intentional by Jesus, and we see that here especially because it's repeated three times for us. If Jesus could have said anything, but he chose to say this, "Peace be with you." And so he comes with this great message, and adding to that message or showing the power of this message of peace, it says that when he had said this, in verse 20, he showed them his hands and his side. What's up with his hands and his side? Scars. He showed them the scars of his crucifixion. And this has a kind of a twofold encouragement here, that as he shows them the scars on his body, he's showing them a resurrected body. This is encouraging, and it brings peace to their hearts because they don't need to mourn or grieve any longer, because he who was dead is now alive. He who was dead is now alive, and they don't need to cry anymore over his loss. It's not hopeless anymore. Their Savior that had died, their leader who was lost, is now here in the flesh, standing before him or before them. But this also, we can take this even further and recognize that these scars, these wounds that Jesus had, speak great encouraging words that they would be familiar with from Isaiah 53, verse 5, where it says, and this is the prophecy of the Messiah, Jesus. This is one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible, one of my favorite verses, Isaiah 53, 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. And so as they see his wounds, they will be forever imprinted in their memories as a reminder of these words, that those wounds were for me. He took that chastisement in my place. He took my death. He died in my place. And that is what brought peace for me. And so this is such an encouraging message for them to see his wounds before them, because now God's wrath was satisfied. If God had taken out the punishment for our sins on Jesus, now it doesn't need to be on us anymore. Jesus has made peace with God for us. It says in Colossians 1:20, "And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." Jesus made peace with God for us through his act on the cross through taking those scars. Let those be a reminder to you as well of his love and his work on your behalf. And then we see coming into this next time where he speaks peace to them in verse 21 through 23. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." And so Jesus shares with them that this is not to stop with them. He didn't just die for those 11 in that room. He didn't just die for those even of that generation. He died for the sins of all the world, of every person who has ever lived. And he was sending out his disciples, his church, to the ends of the earth with this message of peace. And so he gives them this mission. He says, "I'm sending you just like God sent me." But he doesn't just send them. He also empowers them. It says that he breathed on them the Holy Spirit, and they received the Holy Spirit. Remember that when Jesus was about to start his ministry, he received the Holy Spirit in his baptism, and that empowered his ministry on earth. He was carried along in his ministry by the Holy Spirit, and now this same Holy Spirit is given to his disciples. And Scripture tells us that for all of us who believe in Christ, we receive his Holy Spirit who dwells inside of us. The Holy Spirit, who is the bringer of peace, God himself, lives within us and empowers us for this gospel, good news ministry, spreading this word of peace, that Jesus has made peace for all mankind with the Father, if you would only receive it. Receive what Jesus has done for you by faith. Jesus has reconciled all mankind, but we need to accept this gift. And so you, all of you disciples, are called into this ministry. We can see all over the place examples of God sending us into the world, and he commissions us, his church, to be a part of this. And he gives us his Holy Spirit to be with us, but he also gives us his authority. And he says, if you... And so this now belongs to the church. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Did you know that you believers who are acting on behalf of Christ have the authority to forgive sins? Because Christ has sent you, Christ has given you authority, and Christ has provided all of this. And this is how people receive it. I am here to tell you about the forgiveness of Christ, but really this is a message that belongs to the whole church. We have been given this authority. And when we proclaim the forgiveness of sins for people, it is actually forgiven before God. And if they receive that in faith, when they hear your words saying your sins are forgiven, it is good before God. But also, if they are withheld from any, it is withheld. And this would be in cases where people are stubbornly unrepentant, when they are proud and don't want to receive this. We don't encourage them in that way. We don't offer them peace in that way, but we tell them, you are at odds with God as you reject his peace. And they are not forgiven before God. That forgiveness is withheld from them. And this is the ministry that God has left for us. A ministry for the whole world. God wants all people to be saved. He doesn't want to send anyone to hell, but he's using us. And lastly, we see this account with Thomas. And we know it well. We know about Thomas, the doubter, the one who was really struggling, who wouldn't believe unless he got to see great evidence. He didn't want to even just see it. He wanted to touch it. He wasn't going to even be satisfied with what Peter had already seen. But then Jesus comes to Thomas. And Thomas had been really struggling. It seems that because he wasn't with the other disciples before, he was probably just struggling alone with this. He was probably so overcome with grief that he was off carrying this burden alone, just troubled in his heart. Can you relate with that at all? Struggling with this message of Jesus? Struggling with any kind of despair and hopelessness? Feeling overcome? You know, we're all a lot more like Thomas than we'd like to admit. In fact, on our own, we are not able to believe in God at all. It's only by the grace of God, the work of His Holy Spirit, and the Word of God bringing life in our hearts, leading us to repentance. But on our own, we are all like Thomas, struggling to believe and to trust in God. But Jesus comes to him, and clearly, even though he hadn't been with Thomas when he shared his message of doubt, he is omnipresent, he's everywhere present, and he knows everything, and he knew exactly what Thomas was struggling with. He even knew exactly the demands that Thomas was making. And he could have written off Thomas, and yet he didn't. He cared about this doubter. And he came to him, and he let him know that I heard exactly what you wanted. So here I am, Thomas. Go ahead and feel my hands with your finger. Go ahead and put your hand in my side. And Thomas, in that moment, you know what? It doesn't even say that he actually touched Jesus. But when Jesus showed up and he heard his voice, and he realized that Jesus had been listening to his prayer of doubt, he was overcome and he believed. And he exclaimed with faith, "My Lord and my God." He put his trust in the resurrected Savior Jesus. He didn't even have to touch him at that point. He trusted Jesus' words. And you may be struggling today with fear or doubt, wondering if God is for you. But let me tell you that he comes with a message of peace to those who are afraid. He wants the message to go to you and through you and to everyone else in the world. He's offering this to everyone, including you. And he comes even with grace and mercy and patience to those who are struggling and doubting and overcome. And he says, "Peace be with you." May you say with Thomas, "My Lord and my God." You know, Thomas asked for a show. He wanted to see and touch and experience this. And God obliged him. God obliged other people who made requests like that. And he may not do that exactly for you. If you ask to see the resurrected Savior and feel his wounds, he may not actually show up in the body for you like he did with Thomas. But I still want to give you this encouragement, that Jesus has left this account for you. He wanted you to hear about Thomas going through this. He wanted you to know that even when you're struggling, that he cares about you and that he offers you his peace. Another encouragement with this is that Jesus actually does show up in the form of any Christian, any believer who comes to you, because his Spirit is residing in that person, and they are sent by Jesus to you to tell you this message of peace. And so God has provided for your needs, is caring for you, is pursuing you. Put your trust in him, and you do not need to fear, but may be at peace. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your grace and mercy. Lord, for your great love for us that drove you to that cross to take those nails for us, to take that spear in your side for us and be wounded that we might have peace with the Father. Thank you, too, that you continued to pursue the disciples who were so overcome with grief and fear and doubt, and you came to them with a message of peace so that their faith would be strengthened. They might put their trust in you and have their hearts at peace and receive your Holy Spirit, but not just for them, that you even did all of that for them, that we might hear about it and believe and be at peace with the Father through your work, Jesus. We rejoice in you, Lord. We say now with Thomas, my Lord and my God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.